The Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You can put it on the board.
Woo!
Back here for another episode of Midwest Swing. You can find us on Twitter at Midwest Swing Pod. We're part of the Cold Omaha Podcast Network. You can find us on Twitter at Zone Coverage MN. I'm your host, Brandon Warren. You can find me on Twitter at Brandon _ Warren. It is an in-house episode of Midwest Swing. So not only am I in-house, Tom Schreier at T-Schreier3, co-founder of Cold Omaha and Zone Coverage, working the keys as the producer, but we also have Heather Rule, who does some stuff for the Twins on the social media side of things, and is a great wild writer for us on the site. And also Sam Ekstrom, who is a jack-of-all-trades, master of, I won't say master of none, but master of a few. Also sitting in here, you can find Heather on Twitter at HL Rule. You can find Sam on Twitter at Sam Ekstrom.
When you have a chance to have a Wild and Vikings and Gophers basketball writers on your baseball show, you have to do it.
Yeah, well, and keep one thing I want to say is it made the most sense to do it like this today, so that if I had to cancel the show for any reason, as in if my human baby shows up today. It would be easiest.
Human baby.
It would be easiest.
The alien one was last week.
that one was before. We were past that. It made the most sense that it would be the easiest for me to say, hey, guys, I can't make it. You know, if I had Mike Berardino on, he's on quite frequently. It's a little tougher to cancel on him than it is you guys.
You don't cancel offense, on Mike Berardino.
No offense intended.
Oh, it's taken.
Twins off to obviously a very good start. They are 15-14 through 29 games. Game number 30. Coming up on the south side of Chicago this evening, an old friend going to be pitching for the Chicago White Sox, Big Mike Pelfrey. How excited are we to see Big Pelf this evening in a White Sox uniform?
He's just making the tour through the AL Central.
He is. Yeah.
Twins, Tigers, Sox. Has he been with the Royals yet?
No, hasn't been with the Royals yet, and he hasn't been with the Indians yet. I don't think Cleveland's not going to want anything to do with him because they know how to create pitchers, but Kansas City, I could totally see.
We talked about this among guys you want to see succeed. Mike Pelfrey has to be one of them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Great guy.
Super nice dude.
There's such a dissonance between his personality and how you feel about Scott Boras clients in general.
That is a really good point.
He's not your prototypical. And in fact, I always wondered about like that killer instinct. Like, if that was the one thing he was missing. Cole DeVries told me he didn't think that was the case with Pelfrey, but he's such a nice guy off the field that he does make you wonder a little bit. So, Heather, you're obviously going to be watching probably every single pitch. Are you just psyched to see Big Pelf on the mound?
Yeah, it'll be, you know, I'm excited for, you know, we've had some long games lately, so let's keep it going. Yeah.
How long was it on Sunday?
Is that 3:40?
3:46 or something.
And it seemed longer
than that. It felt like way longer than that. So
it was 7:06 when I was watching on my phone. And then
your phone melted?
Then I drove somewhere. 10 minutes later, there was a one.
Did you back
in front
out
of the seven?
Did you back out of your driveway? Is that all the driving you did?
Yeah, right.
Oh, it was just like an avalanche of runs scored. And it was just like, really, what the heck happened? Matt Belisle came in, couldn't get anybody out.
Got the first out. He got the first out, though.
I say couldn't get anybody out in a purely hypothetical sense. Okay. And now his ERA is back up to, I think it was at 9 after that blow up in Texas, and now it's back up to 9. So
what's Irv's?
Big Irv is 1.72. Obviously not a great start, but he's still doing, you know, a fairly good job. And I think it kind of proved my point that Chris Sale was much better than Ervin Santana in the first month. And I get ERA, whatever. But the dominance showed by Sale, granted the Twins kind of dinked and dunked him to tie the game up, that's the difference between overall incredible dominance and a guy like Santana who had a great pitching month rather than a great melting everything, you know, going scorched earth in front of you month.
We've seen this from Santana in the 2+ years he's been here. He's been streaky. And he seems to have these sort of meltdown games every once in a while.
Yeah.
He's had some very good stretches, but if I recall, he came off of the suspension in 2015, and he was initially very good, then had sort of a really terrible stretch.
Like a dead arm period, I think.
Yeah, coming off that long layoff, and then he got it back together a little bit. But he hasn't been a consistent pitcher by any means,
no.
But he has the highest ceiling of anyone in that rotation.
So Jim Suhan wrote a column yesterday and it said the Twins need to keep him, and I just disagreed with everything in that column. The dude's 34 years old, going on 35. The miles on his arm, amplified by the fact that he has had a Tommy John scare in the past.
And throws a lot of sliders.
Throws a ton of sliders. Yeah. And I don't know how Suhan's like, well, if the Twins couldn't get anything for Dozier, why would they get something for Santana? Okay, hang on a second here. Dozier plays second base. How many contenders are a second baseman away from going to the World Series? None. How many contenders are a third starter away from running people over in the postseason? Probably quite a few. How many of them could use a starting pitcher under contract for one more season with a tearaway season after that, that they could just say, no, we're not going to exercise that. The buyout's nothing, minimal compared to what it would cost to keep him. There is a lot of reasons for Thad Levine and Derek Falvey to trade Irvin Santana this season. And what I wrote yesterday, I wrote about Jorge Polanco and Brian Dozier and Nick Gordon, kind of the infield, middle infield future of this team. They've already showed they're not afraid to make unpopular decisions. Now, the PR backlash to designating Michael Tonk and designating and subsequently trading Danny Santana is not the same as trading Irvin Santana. But they publicly, at least as publicly as you can, shopped Brian Dozier for the entire winter. They basically put the chips out on the table and said, here's what it takes to for us to go all in against you, and if you don't call, we're fine. I don't think they will have any hesitation if a call comes in offering two top 100 prospects for Irvin Santana at positions they can use or near proximity to the big leagues. I think the time is right to trade Irvin Santana, and the time for attachment is no more.
It's deal or no deal. Right?
It's deal. I don't think there is no deal. I think there has to be a deal. He's going to be 35 years old soon.
But it's a classic case where the offer gets up to a point where if you risk opening any more cases, and in this case, having Santana on the team for a few more months or another year.
It's a blown up elbow in one of those cases.
Yeah, I mean, you might open the $1 million case and suddenly your offer is going to plummet. And I think there's a much higher risk of that with 34-year-old Irvin Santana than there was with 20-something Brian Dozier, who's a middle infielder at a really valuable spot. So I think it's a no-brainer, don't you?
I would agree. I think it's almost expected now from fans that he's going to, you know, they're going to trade him. My mom went to the game yesterday, and she said, well, yeah.
Barb
you know,
Rule, one of the biggest Twins fans you could ever want to know, by the way.
Exactly. Yep. And she said, well, yeah, because I want to come see Irv, you know, pitch before they trade him, you know, and he's been doing so well. And, you know, it was funny that, you know, yesterday's game was supposed to be this big pitcher's duel and turned out to be, you know, furthest thing from that. But I think it's
20,
really.
Was it 23 runs scored?
It was a train wreck.
Wow. It was.
Gelfand
yeah,
probably took the under.
He probably did.
But yeah, I think it's kind of, you know, just a matter of time. Okay, when are they going to pull the trigger on this? And I think that, you know, maybe the concern is you worry about what you're getting in return. You know, you want to get something back for him. But I think, you know, you can't look at this year as, okay, well, if we get rid of him, what pitching do we have left? And because he's, you know, kind of been the ace, but you're not. Are you really playing for this year? I mean,
if he gets hurt, you know, the question is still, what pitching do you have left?
Right, yeah. So, I mean, long term, I think, you know, it's going to be expected. It's just going to be a matter of, okay, what are they going to get for him?
I think this is a deal you make closer to the deadline. Obviously, you don't want to risk the injury, but they need to make sure they have some sort of pitching replacement. At this point, they have, you know, basically two other viable pitchers. They got to see what. Can Gibson go back to AAA, regain confidence, and be the pitcher he's supposed to be at age 29, given his experience? And
he'll be starting today for the Red Wings, by the way.
Okay. And, yeah, so, and something to keep an eye on. And then, you know, could Jose Berrios or maybe even a Steven Gonsalves come out to the major leagues and not be an ace or anything, just be a good major league pitcher? Because then it makes that trade easier to make.
All right, Sam and Heather, I know you guys got places to be, so I just want to ask you guys a couple things before we let you go. Joe Mauer walk off the other night, only win of the Boston series. Your thoughts? I mean, I don't want to throw you a fat fastball and have you guys hit one into the bullpen, but I guess I do. But what was your takeaway from that? Phil Hughes pitched very well. Junk ball Phil Hughes is fascinating with all the curveballs, knuckle curves, changeups, cutters, and two seam fastballs instead of four seam fastballs. What did you take away from that night? Obviously, Kinsler faltered. There's a lot to take away from that night, but
Fun night at the park.
First walk-off home run of Joe Mauer's career, correct?
He couldn't remember the last one, even dating back to Creighton. So probably the last of it, first of his life, probably.
Yeah. I was excited for Joe. I think he's dealt with a lot. I think that he's dealt with a lot of grief from fans, and he's been held to unfair expectations.
Anthony Swarzak said that exact thing in an interview with Dan Hayes, friend of the program, Dan Hayes, who works for CSN Chicago.
And I was glad to see him show some emotion, too. And then he showed some emotion on Sunday, too, with that furious outrage at that third strike.
He should have gotten tossed because he wasn't going out for defense. It would have been fun to just see him get him tossed.
Yeah, that would have been really fun.
Yeah, two firsts in a weekend. Yeah. You were at the game, right, Heather?
You said Barb would go down and try to keep him on the field.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Because someone said, oh, he should have got tossed. Like, well, then, you know, we want to see my mom down there getting tossed out because she was down there defending him. But yeah, it was probably the most emotional weekend we've seen from Joe Mauer practically ever. And when he, you know, hit that home run, I think there's a little bit of disbelief. Like, did that actually just happen? And
I tweeted, I don't believe what I just saw. Like the old, I can't remember who made that call.
I want Jack say, Buck. Was that Kurt Gibson's home run 1998?
88?
Did I say 98?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was Ozzie Smith home run in 85, but yeah, you might be right. Incredible, though. Yeah, just an unbelievable deal. Sorry to interrupt, though.
Yeah, no, then when I ended up seeing the replay and Joe Mauer had, you know, kind of his arm raised with the fist rounding first, I thought of Kirby Puckett right away. I think
Speaking
there's a couple other people that thought the same thing. And, you know, so that was really, really exciting for him, especially after, you know, the way things unfolded with
terrible
Kinsler. Which goes back again to looking at, you know, wins and losses for pitchers. Kinsler gets the win in that game.
Yeah.
after blowing the save.
Joe said he would not, if the roles were reversed, would not pick up Miguel Sano if he hit a home run like that.
Sano effortlessly picks him up, right?
Oh, Joe's a toothpick. He'd break him in half, put him between his teeth, and pick out whatever he'd eaten.
But a really weird ending to that day.
Oh, yeah. So the last thing I got for you guys for you to take off, obviously, game 30 tonight. Twins are at 500. I wrote this offseason back in January, the Twins are going to win 80 games. They're on some kind of pace like that. What has been, in each of your opinions, the most surprising thing to this point, as we're now about 5 weeks into the season, that has kept the Twins where they're at?
I think starting pitchers like Phil Hughes, and to some extent Hector Santiago, battling their way to quality starts without really good stuff. And I'm not sure that's a sustainable model. But it's been encouraging to see them at least get this team into the middle of May in contention. Now, the AL Central is a total crapshoot. Kansas City's off to an abysmal start, as I think a lot of people saw coming. But Cleveland's not blowing anybody away. They swept the Twins, but
they're one game ahead
of Minnesota. And then you've got two teams at 500 behind them. So the longer you stay in contention, I think the more confidence you build as a team. I think the more reps you get under Jorge Polanco, you know, he's going to come into his own. Byron Buxton seems to be coming around a little bit. Mm-hmm. And honestly, your start to the season was done with a lot of players struggling mightily at the plate, and you still managed to bank up some wins when maybe you didn't deserve it. So maybe if you get that offense to a point where you're hitting in the top half of the league, maybe if that pitching can somehow sustain itself, you can keep getting six innings from Phil Hughes and Irvin Santana can keep being a mind-bogglingly good pitcher. Maybe you have a chance to get up to 80, and then you're competing for a wild card spot.
Yeah, outside of Miguel Sano, it's been, you know, Jason Castro not being particularly great at the play, Joe Mauer, Brian Dozier struggling. I think that point is well taken. Heather, how about you? What surprised you through almost 30 games?
I think it has been some of the clutch hitting that they have had when, you know, in order to get leads in games, and then the way they've been able to hold on to the, you know, if they get a lead, hold on to it and get the win. Because I think last year what we saw with so many of the losses was, hey, maybe they had a lead, but it was okay, then they give it right back. Or, you know, how quickly do they turn around and they end up getting the loss. But I think, you know, some of Sano's hitting and the clutch hits that they've gotten from, you know, whoever it is that day to keep the lead. And, you know, the pitching is, you know, kind of turning around a little bit lately, but just the way they've been able to hold on to that and not immediately give back four runs in the next inning, I think has been really refreshing to see. And I think the record is surprising people too, even for the first, you know, month and a half of the season. You know, for a team that lost so many games last year, I don't think people expected kind of the start that they had just record-wise either.
Quick takeaway before you guys take off. Miguel Sano, Is he going to be suspended or is it going to get lifted?
Suspended.
I think he'll be suspended.
Is against Pelf probably the best possible alternative?
Right.
Because yeah. Hopefully they can put up 7-8 runs. I know in Daily Fantasy I'm stacking Twins today because I don't think Big Pelf's got it in him. But we'll see what happens. Well, guys, thank you so much for hanging. Check out the Zone Coverage Cold Omaha, Old Comaha, whatever we're going to call it, staff podcast recorded earlier today. Tom and I are going to hang out here for a while yet, but we do appreciate you guys diving in here in the Cumulus Studios to give us some of your sweet, hot Minnesota Twins takes.
Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, you bet.
Yep, Tom, thank you.
Good luck with fatherhood.
Thank you so much. Tom, so...
It was sincere.
Classic Schreier laugh going on. Enjoy your puppy there, Sam, by the way.
Thank you.
Got to listen to the Cold Omaha staff podcast to know what we're talking about, though.
Mm-hmm.
How's that for a tease?
Oh, yeah.
If you do like Cold Omaha's stuff, check us out, zonecoverage.com/Amazon. Nothing changes about your Amazon shopping experience. If you use Amazon Prime, if you use Amazon Pantry, check it out. We get a little bit of a kickback. You can help support Cold Omaha and Zone Coverage's awesome hashtag content. We would appreciate it very much. Again, if you shop at Amazon, and who doesn't, you can go to zonecoverage.com/Amazon. I think we're going to – that's the gong show there with
Zach Bennett
trying to check in here. Haven't seen Zach in a minute here. Good to see you again, bud.
Good to see you too.
Yeah. Hey, I can hear you, so I know that you're good and good coming through loud and clear, but good stuff. So, Tom, we kind of sidestepped past you while they were still in the room here.
It's all good.
Most surprising thing to you through 29 games as far as this team – progressing.
Kind of the contrast between the, you know, they have a winning record or in the hunt in the AL Central. And then you go look at the, you know, kind of how those games added up. You know, 28-7 if you add up the two games over the weekend. They lost by the Texas loss 14-3, which felt a lot like the second Boston loss where the bullpen kind of come unwound. You know, they have the 11-4 loss to Cleveland. You know, these handful of blowouts are not a good indicator, 13-4 too to Detroit, that this is sustainable. And I think it points to they don't have a full rotation and the bullpen doesn't have a lot of depth.
Well, they've had stretches where they've lost 7 of 9. They also won 4 straight after that blowout loss in Texas. So they have shown the ability to bounce back. They have lost 3 of their last 4 with that exciting win at Target Field. Mauer homering off Barnes to bring up the win in the last 4 games. I'm not ready to really stamp this team as anything yet.
Yeah.
I do think they could win 80 games. I still think they probably have a fairly good chance of sticking in the 76-82 win range. But I don't think anything that we've seen to this point is really indicative of who this team is.
Yeah, I think maybe I, you know, look too far into it, but we talked about the Santana move, the Gibson move, the Tonkin move. These are kind of Twins guys through and through, right? Santana got everyone excited with that first year with what he did at the plate, and just kind of being quote unquote a glue guy that could play all over, although I don't think he plays any position particularly well. Michael Tonkin, in some ways, kind of a feel good story, a 30th round pick that you got some sort of value out of coming out of high school as a reliever with a really good fastball and not great off speed stuff. And we talked about his inability to hold runners on and stuff in the past. And Kyle Gibson, just a guy who, and again, a lot of people passed on Mike Trout, but they drafted before Mike Trout that, you know, was a first round pick that was supposed to go kind of straight from Missouri to the major leagues, who's on that fast track until he had Tommy John. And since then has been part of the rotation and seemed to be, I think it's fair to say, he looked like he could be a solid number three pitcher. I don't think he had, you know, lights out stuff ever.
I still think he can be that, by the way.
Yeah, and so I think it's important to point out Gibson could go down to Triple A, dominate it for a couple games, come back up, and then have a role in the rotation. I think we know Danny Santana has been traded, and I don't know what we're going to see from Tonkin going forward. I guess I'm much more intrigued by, can this new regime that seems willing to kind of shake things up and probably, you know, we talked about the audit and people, I think, felt like they're being too patient and maybe we won't see anything come of it.
Too patient. That always strikes me as funny. Too patient.
Yeah.
Too not reactionary. Really?
And kind of what I described, and we got Zach Bennett in the house who does NBA. NBA teams, I feel like, are like jet skis. They can turn on a dime. They, you know, maneuver well. It's really comes down to 2 or 3 star players and who you put around them. An MLB franchise is really, you know, a cruise ship. as soon as you know it's heading towards the iceberg, it is really hard to turn around, right?
Yeah.
And so for years, I think maybe the Twins got by with making bad decisions, but the good decisions they made in the past were manifesting themselves on the field and kind of the cracks were underneath the foundation. In this instance, I think Felvey and Levine are evaluating all ends of this, and they got to get something out of the players they drafted. They can't go back and take Benintendi instead of Tyler J. They can't go back and fix Jose Berrios's, progression or whatever through the minor leagues. Maybe they would have trained him differently. Yeah. They can't go back and get Aaron Hicks, right? He's gone. So I think they got to deal with what they got, and there should be enough there to start filling out. This is what I wrote actually a week ago. Basically, there should be enough there to fill out the rotation in the bullpen. If not, there's some fundamental issues with what's going on there.
28-7 deficit for the Twins on Saturday and Sunday. How did you stay awake in the press box?
I'll be honest. It was a little tough, especially because I made a bad decision to go out on Saturday, forgetting that none of my other friends had to get up in the morning. And of course, that game, I think, had been a pitcher's duel, I would have been fine. As it kind of dragged on, and I saw Santana giving up those runs, and then the Twins dink and dunk against Sales.
You didn't fall asleep in the club.
I did not, but I was struggling. Like that last inning, I was sitting there.
You need to start drinking coffee.
I did. This weekend, I and that's the issue, is like I'm not wired well for coffee. I was kind of sitting there like a little motor, just trying to stay awake. But it's just disappointing when that game could have been a lot of fun. It could have been Sale versus Santana. Pitcher's duel. It could have been this big storyline of if that strikeout what's the conclusion? I've heard both ways that was a strike or a ball. I think it's a very borderline pitch, right? That Maurer took.
Yeah, Brooks, which is what I use for all my recaps, zonecoverage.com, make sure to check those out, said it was a strike. So I feel bad because Brooks is kind of what I'm slavish to, and I was ranting and raving about it not being a strike. So I hereby issue a retraction for all those tweets. Since nobody listens to this, it'll be okay.
But
I do feel bad, though, because wow. Brooks did have it in the utmost top left corner of the strike zone. I didn't think the pitch live was a strike.
And Kimbrel himself, who threw the pitch, said that he thought it was a generous call.
Yeah, I think
Maurer in that situation has to follow it off. I don't know if he could have done much with it, but I think you have to protect the plate.
Yeah, I mean, my argument there, though,
anything
is
close.
Yeah, but that's in high school. In the big leagues, you don't expect the umpires to bail you out.
So
I don't know. It's hard to say.
Either way, even some emotion out there was good. But there was this whole narrative of, can he get through a five-out save? And he was facing the top of the order.
It hardly mattered, and then he got the two outs.
I know, that ruins it.
That shows you, though, the modern bullpen management. You can lose the game in the eighth. You can't win it.
Mm-hmm.
So they sustained what they needed to in the eighth, and then the offense went to work in the ninth. If the Twins tie the game, that whole thing might go totally different. And so I have to take my hat off to John Farrell. I was critical of his bullpen management when he did not bring in Kimbrel to face the Maurer. Maurer ended up hitting a home run off Barnes. Not the first walk-off by a Twin against Barnes, I might add. Max Kepler's first career home run,
really,
which I did write, was also off Barnes. It hit the berm in center field. So the Twins kind of own, Matt Barnes right now.
I don't
now.
Think their bullpen is very good. That team is really good, but it seems like the bullpen has some
leaks. But again, it speaks
leaks.
To the American League where, Cleveland is really good, and then, nobody else is really standout. Houston should
I mean, I
be
think
good.
Boston's going to be really good.
Yeah,
but
right now, the Yankees are just blowing everybody out, and we'll talk
Aaron
about Aaron
Hicks.
We're going to talk about Aaron Hicks
stick
for just a second.
Stick with Hicks.
Yeah, hashtag stick with Hicks.
Is he still a Twin?
No.
This is the point. He's a Yankee and doing well.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, of course he is. So I don't think the AL is all that crazy, and I think that that the Twins can hang. It's just a matter of they do have to clean up some of the gaps in their roster.
Yeah.
However that's possible. What was your takeaway from Maurer's home run? Granted, I was covering that night, but I suspect you at least have...
No, I was watching the game.
Late breaking news.
Wow.
Miguel Sano has a one-game suspension that has been upheld. He will serve it tonight against the White Sox.
What'd he do?
Pointed at a guy and fought him.
Pointed at a guy and he pushed a catcher. Not really that big of a deal, but one-game suspension.
He's fine. They should beat Papa Pelf. So I was...
So he pushed the guy while pointing at another guy? Like just a beast?
No, he went out and pointed to the...
He got thrown at, and then he basically threatened to beat somebody up. Anyway, so he's not playing tonight against Pelf, which is not that big of a deal.
So regarding Maurer, I was with my boy Riles, and we were playing...
He who should not be mentioned.
Why?
He's crazy. Bad influence on our boss here, man.
Have you met him?
No.
So we were watching the game and playing a little Mario Tennis on a different screen. And
Great game, by the way.
Mario 64.
We should have played Mario Kart last weekend, by the way. That would have been
awesome. That'd been good. I'll turn your mic up,
Crank
Zach.
It up.
Zach Bennett of Wolves Wired, Lockdown Wolves.
I wasn't going to talk this much, but Brandon says no one listens
putting
to this.
Putting down the Live Wire Mountain Dew for putting out. Is that your sponsor for Wolves Wired?
It depends on the day, but yeah.
Oh, God.
Whatever you can get your hands on.
Some sponsors can't be named.
True, that's true. Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
Yeah, so we were watching this, and obviously Kinsler blows the lead.
Did you see me call the Mauer home run, though?
On Twitter? I did not. I was not on Twitter, unfortunately.
No, I called the Mauer home run. I didn't call the Mauer home run. I called Mauer home run a few games back when he homered in that game that everyone was homering in Oakland.
Yeah.
Against Cesar Valdez, who ended up getting
DFA'd. I was at that game with Riles, actually.
He ended up getting DFA'd the next morning, got claimed by the Blue Jays. And then I was going to call a Mauer home run for Barnes, and I didn't because I thought, you know what? It will diminish the first one.
Yeah,
and it would have just ramped it up. I might have made Deadspin if I called a second hour in the same week.
No, so Riles is all upset about Kinsler, and then I look down, like we're playing Mario Tennis. I look down, and I'm like, Riles, Joe Mauer just hit a home run, and we went outside, and I'm close enough to the stadium, you could kind of hear the chaos, right? And it was pretty exciting. I think he's had a tough April. He really needs to get going. You know, if you're a 270 hitter, you're offering something, especially if you can get on base. If you're 225, you're really scuffling there. And and there's people calling for him to retire and stuff. He's got to kind of show up here.
Retire? Wow.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's
Britt,
a free agent.
Britt Robson, not kidding, on the Britt and Brower podcast.
And Britt's not a hot takes guy.
No. He likes baseball.
I think with baseball, he could be.
Well, he has the potential. He has the potential.
He has less skin in the game with baseball.
Yeah.
Related, what do you think of Let's Go Crazy as a home run song and as a goal song? I love it for both.
I like it for both, although I get Sam's point.
The Prince song?
Yeah. It's like the
Sam brought up it's a little hard.
Let's Go Crazy.
Yeah, with hockey, it's a little hard to know what you're supposed to do to it. I like
it.
It's
kind of bop. I don't know.
I like it for baseball.
I'm for not playing any Prince songs at any stadiums because that's what he would have wanted.
Anti-establishment.
Well, he didn't want any of his songs to be played, and now all of his songs.
Although I thought the crowd chant was all right, and you know what the Twins used before?
What?
The Imperial, was it the Imperial March or whatever for Star Wars?
That's
what they used back at like the Metronome, and then that's also really good too. So I could take either one, but I think I do kind of like the Prince. Let's go crazy.
What would be your walk-up music? If you
DNA
had...
by Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
No hesitation or. Talk to Me by Run the Jewels. I actually tweeted this a couple days ago.
Really?
And I can't pick between the two. Both those songs are fantastic. Both came out in the last year. Actually, they came out in like the last 6 months. What would you guys use?
It'd probably be something by Rage Against the Machine. I think Killing in the Name of.
Mine was Guerrilla Radio in college.
Was it?
Yeah, because Jason Kuba was my favorite Twin at the time, and that's what he used.
Really?
So I requested Guerrilla Radio.
I'm trying to think.
If
I went old school, heard it through the grapevine, the CCR song, the first little beat would be kind of fun.
Yep. That'd be
If I want to go recent,
it's
sort
of lame.
No.
Sorry.
Savage.
Do you guys not like the Big Lebowski? Isn't that his CCR's?
I mean, you gotta get pumped up.
But if I want to get pumped up, I think On My Level by Wiz Khalifa would be kind of sick.
That is your jam.
Yeah,
I could also do Bounce by 2 Chainz would be really good.
Yeah.
I did, though. I created a Spotify playlist of all the Twins walk-up songs.
Oh, nice.
I will tweet it out again later today if people want to check
I like that.
Is it called Twins walk-up song?
Yeah. It's got a picture of Miguel Sano, photo credit, Brian Kersky, Cumulus Media.
I love it.
And it says Twins Walk-Up Songs 2017. That is a very diverse. You've got Sublime.
Yeah.
You've got...
I like that Buxton brought back Return of the Mac, which was Chris Calabalos.
Return of the Mac. I don't have Spotify up in front. Actually,
What is Dozier's is a country
he's
song.
He's got a country song now.
Lame.
Oh, I'm glad he went back. He was doing Flo Rida for a while.
So, Believer by Imagine Dragons. Do you know who that is?
Castro?
Nope, that's Grossman.
Grossman.
Kings of Summer... by Iokai, that's Chris Jimenez, friend of
the
program.
Oh, here it is. Okay. I just became the first follower.
Mi Gente by Hector Lavoe. I believe that's Eduardo Escobar. The Buzz by Hermitude, that's Jason Castro with that crazy, like,
love that song.
Beep, 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 beep,
okay.
Beep, 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 beep. Return of the Mac. Sublime Doing Time is Max Kepler. What You Know by T.I., which takes it back to...
Whose walk-up is that?
Joe Mauer. Takes you back to 2004.
Love that from Joe Mauer.
Clock Con Clock by... I am going to botch this name. Seki Vicini. That's... I believe that's Miguel Sano. Huh. Que Siento en Pera. That's Seki Vicini. That's... I think Jorge Polanco.
Polanco would make sense.
In fact, I believe that is... If you listen to that... that I know you got headphones in. It actually is like a Eminem... Na 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 na.
What
na,
what is it?
Na, 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 na. Yeah, it's like a knockoff of what song is it? Is that
that's
Without Me, right?
Yeah. Without Me from
what is the song called? We can play it for the people.
Te Siento, T-E-S-I
and Para.
Okay,
at the home opener, I'm like, that's a knockoff of Eminem.
It is. It is.
It has to be, doesn't it?
It must be.
And even my wife even picked
Tommy.
Up.
Tommy. Do I need to get some paper towels?
Did you
probably didn't need some paper towels.
That's really loud, man. Did you just swear?
No.
If you get a label on my program.
Is this the right thing? This.
I don't think so.
Yeah, this does not seem like it. We'll look.
What are you doing, man? It's Te Siento and
Negro Patria metiendo mano.
There you go.
There we go. It does sound like it.
Na 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 na. When Jorge Polanco comes up, listen for this and tell me you don't hear Eminem.
It does sound like Eminem.
Man, man, oh, man.
No, that's interesting stuff. Do we have any other substantial Twins takes other than their music?
I did want to ask you about Aaron Hicks. What are you making of him? Obviously, he's hitting .342, 6 home runs. His career high is 11, so he's not really closing in on that yet. But he's just crushing it for the Yankees. Lots of walks. I swear, I'm friends with his brother Joe on Facebook. Joe Jr. His dad's first name is Joe too. And every other day, he's posting a picture of Aaron hitting a home run or a video of him like recording at the stadium. I'm like, Jiminy Christmas, man, is this the same video? No, actually. And I started Hicks in DFS last night. I won $15 in daily fantasy sports.
Oh, nice.
Had a ridiculous day and still only won $15. But anyway, playing left, right, center, kind of filling in all over the place. What if he is...
Now, this looks like a good job for me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he got it. He found it. So what happens, though, if Aaron Hicks... Like, what happens if Aaron Hicks is a guy now? Like, are people...
I'm not surprised. I think he's always had talent.
Didn't need him.
Didn't he say
the next didn't need him.
Didn't I say he was going to be the next Carlos Gomez, though? Did I not
say
that?
No, and not only that, but he was not good last year, right?
He was horrible.
Yeah, he stayed in the majors.
He never played. 123 games... means he played a lot, but he did not get a lot of, like, at-bats.
The Yankees were smart. They basically were like, he's going to be good eventually. We're going to have to ferry him through this season, right? We're going to have to make sure he didn't have options. He has to stay on the major league roster and have some sort of role.
It was basically a rule 5 year for him.
Right. I think that's a good call. Now, on the flip side, John Ryan Murphy, about a little under a year. So he's, you know, minus .07. So there are still players older than him in AAA. He is hitting... right now,
I'm trying to pull it up.
262, 326, 476.
He's actually hitting at AAA.
Yeah.
The trouble is, though, I think the Twins are married to Chris Jimenez as the backup.
And it's hard not to like him. He's a likable personality. He's willing to pitch.
I'm going to ask him about walk-up music when we talk to him in the clubhouse next time and use it for the podcast.
Yeah.
Save it for the podcast, as Zach likes to say.
You want to join on Locked On today?
No, I don't. I don't know anything about the Wolves, man.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
We're just talking NBA playoffs.
I gotta go to work, just like that guy. Who is
Alex
that?
Berg?
No, I gotta go to work. Who's the guy that says that on his morning tweets every day?
Oh,
Jay
Billis.
Yep, gotta go to work.
After his Young Jeezy quote.
Yeah, which is so strange.
Which is awesome.
So anyway, I'm looking forward to Big Puff. The thing that I've noticed about the Twins so far this year is every time they've gotten into a hole, they've had something come up that has allowed them to dig out. Is this 3-game set on the south side of Chicago, starting with Mike Pelfrey, another layup for the Twins to slam down? It just seems like they've never hit a suspended patch where they've had to face teams really rolling. They got Texas. Texas is terrible right now. They've owned Kansas City. Kansas City, terrible right now. They thumped Oakland. Oakland is not expected to do anything this year. Struggled with Boston. Struggled with Cleveland. Early on, they struggled with Detroit. I want to see a sustained period where they're beating teams they should beat, and I just don't know if we're quite there yet.
they'll have an interesting deal coming up. I think they can beat up on the White Sox. I think they have to, especially if we want to stay competitive in the Central and give people a reason to believe this could be a good team.
Outside of facing Kansas City, the Twins are 10-14. Is that who you thought they were? I don't know, and I don't know if that's fair to you either.
But I think they got a chance here. I mean, Cleveland's going to be tough in Cleveland, in Ohio. But then you come back and you get home games against Colorado and Kansas City. I mean, I think this is an opportunity here in the next two series
to fatten up, play the May of 2015.
Yeah.
Right? And the 20-7 month
because they are going to then hit a tough schedule where you have to go in Baltimore and then Tampa Bay and Houston, right?
The other thing, though, is that the American League just isn't that tough this year.
The Twins need to
– They can hang. They need to hang around. Positivity. If they can hang around, like Counting Crows would say, they can be decent.
I've been hanging around.
Exactly. This turned into a music podcast, but that's all we got for you. You've been listening to Midwest Swing. For Tom Schreier, for Zach Bennett, Heather Rule, Sam Ekstrom, I'm Brandon Warren signing off, saying thank you for joining us, and check us out again tomorrow.
Yeah.